This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Hey, Jolenta.
Hey, Kristen.
It has been a while since we talked with Kelly, our professional storyteller/comedian who was struggling with professional jealousy.
Kelly, I've been thinking about her a lot. I think about her all the time because I struggle with professional jealousy as well.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know, is jealousy completely eliminated from her life now? Has it evaporated? Should we give her a call to find out?
Yes, I want to call her, but I also want to read some listener mail while we're at it because I want to know how other people deal with their profesh jelly.
Well, yeah, let's get to that listener mail and let's talk to Kelly. Let's get this We Love You and So Can You follow-up episode underway. After each main episode of We Love You and So Can You, we do a follow-up with the most recent guest because, like you, we're dying to know how they're doing.
So, last week, we were all about Kelly Dunham. She's a comedian, storyteller, hugely accomplished, author, former nun,
yeah.
Lived on a boat, literally done everything. And despite all of these many, many accomplishments, she found herself looking around at other people in her field, feeling jealous and kind of beating herself up over that.
Yeah, but after 2 weeks of living by our prescription, Kelly learned to embrace her accomplishments just a little more and maybe give that jealousy her attention just a little bit less.
Right. So let's see how Kelly's doing now. Lindsay, can you get her on the line, please?
Kelly?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Hi, we're good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing really well.
Good. Oh, that's good.
Good. So it's been a while since we got to eavesdrop on your life. And obviously, we just want, you know, some updates, some deep dive, some behind closed doors, everything about you and how it's been going since we were last together.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to tell you that. You have more specific questions or?
Nope, that's it.
Just as general as possible. I mean, when last we talked, you mentioned you would maybe be recording a comedy album at a live show of yours.
Yes. Well,
how'd that go?
Oh, well, that was amazing. So I got a publicist who did like a fantastic job of getting me like places that, you know, I always think, well, whatever, I can send emails myself. But of course, she got me like contacts. Like a couple of serious shows that I had folks I'd never met before. And that, you know, I also like, oh, a publicist is going to get you places you're not ready for anyway, so you should just do it yourself. But in fact, I was totally ready for the conversations that I had, and they were great. So that was fantastic. And then also, the other thing that happened is I, you know, the whole problem of New York and there not being enough stage time to, like, perfect material. So I just, like, put a thing up on Facebook that was like, okay, so host house concerts in your home, please. And then I'll come and do comedy for you. And then, you know, this will be my, like, my workout shows. Like I did it for free and then they passed the hat for like progressive causes. So that was amazing. And then I got to see like all my friends this summer, right? Like I went anywhere that I could get, like in a day's travel or whatever. So I did like 12 house concerts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I performed like in a yard in Rochester.
Oh my gosh.
And, all these different places. So kind of an amazing experience. So also I mentioned, okay, so Gaster is, El Monte. I asked him to be my director and it was so amazing. We did like line by line of going through material, which I've never done with anyone.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, and it felt kind of vulnerable, right? Because there's
totally.
Like one place where I'm like, I don't understand why the audience isn't laughing at this. And he's like, because you messed up the line three times. That's why they didn't
laugh. Oh, shoot.
And it's true. Like when I listened to it myself with his ears, right? So that was amazing. And people really got into it. People came dressed like the gym teacher.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, and like remind listeners what the name of your show was.
Right. So it's not the gym teacher, because everyone thinks I am the gym teacher. So many people came dressed. And now, so they came dressed like that for concerts. And then when I've performed other places, people are showing up dressed like the gym teacher, even when it's not the gym teacher themed show.
Oh my gosh. So and not only do you have a following, but they're now showing up in costume for you, just wherever you go.
Like Comic-Con almost. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, I know it probably felt amazing for you to ask for the support that you deserve and to be up there on stage and to be perfecting your act and to be surrounded by people dressed as gym teachers. But I have to say, just as an audience member, because Lindsay, our producer, she and I went to your live taping and it was so freaking good. I don't think we ever caught a breath the whole time because we were laughing so much. And we were also being very moved by all of your stories. There's actually one story that you tell about your mom saying, "Can't you see she's not a normal girl?" And that is so beautiful and moving, but also hilarious all at the same time. I mean, you just knocked it out of the park. You were so, so good. So whatever you were doing behind the scenes, it definitely came out to those of us in the audience. You sounded fantastic. Also, hold on. Should we play a clip for our audience?
Can we? Because I also couldn't make it to your show. Kelly, do you mind?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, please.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so I have been performing for a while there's been a lot of dead partner material in my comedy for years, you know, because I have a lot of dead partners. No, just two, but still, you know, there's a lot.
That's more than
money.
It's certainly sufficient, yeah. And so when I first started performing it was kind of like, you know, because this is how we metabolize our pain, and I'm just, of course, I have to perform this, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the audience on for it. And one of the most amazing things to me about this particular clip is, especially when I listen back to it, and it did feel great recording this, I thoroughly, like, it just felt fantastic. But the fact that the audience, like, it's very hard not to get an awe out of an audience when you introduce the dead partner situation.
Right.
But I felt like because of the confidence of my performing, and also because I'd just been like knocking it, and because just, you know, like just doing so many as guests, just as reps, he has all like coaching terms.
Right.
But I've been doing that so much that I felt totally at ease. I felt very, very confident in my delivery and also in my right to be talking about that on stage.
Right. Mm.
Let's hear it.
When my partner Cheryl died, her cat came to live with me. My nephew observed that is the most lesbian inheritance ever. It was awkward at first. She kind of wandered around the apartment, one paw on her hip. What happened to the other one, the one I liked? And after a few years, I started dating again, and I would bring folks home. Folks, like 200 people at a time. No, I mean like one or maybe two or three, but I would bring folks home or attempt to bring folks home. They would come to the door of the bedroom and they would be met by Lulu the cat standing on the bed, making a sound something like, which apparently made some people uncomfortable. So I'd say something like, "Oh, you know, that's just my dead lover's cat," and trauma, da da da. The problem there is, the more casually you say that, the more alarming it becomes.
Oh, Kelly, so good.
Stop. I'm dying. I'm so professionally jealous. It's killing me.
Are you sure you're not just jelly?
I'm jelly. Sorry, I'm jelly. We have to say it cuter. Disarm that jealousy.
So you're doing great on stage. You are getting all the help you need. You've hired all these people.
Yeah, you're
to help you.
A boss.
Yes. And so what does that mean? What would you say is the status of your professional jealousy at this point then?
I mean, it's interesting because I actually just saw something on Facebook that does, you know, I still have that reaction, but also I don't feel shame about it anymore, right?
Yeah.
All right. So everyone knows I have professional jealousy now. Now I can post about it if I want and say, like, I know I'm being trifling. This is a feeling I'm having. I can share about it because everyone fucking knows. Like, there's a podcast about it now that a bunch of people have listened to. So it's not a secret anymore. And so then I could just have the feeling, but not have like the secondary problem of also feeling like super ashamed and like, this is okay. I would prefer not to be I would prefer to be a person who is absolutely happy for everyone's success and feels equally about it. I would prefer to be that person. I'm not that person. And so like, I can still feel like, all right, so I feel jealous. That's all right. I've got my thing and I'm doing it the way that it makes sense for me to do it. And whatever success I get with that, it means it's, you know, that's authentic success.
Right, right. You're not going through the motions of some stuff that doesn't fully vibe with what you're about in order to get, you know, to some endpoint. You're getting to an endpoint by being yourself the whole way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so whatever comes out of that, like when I got done with the CD, I walked off stage and Caster was like, you were on fucking fire.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. Felt pretty good. And, and I felt really good about like the people who were in that room. But as I walked up stage, I was like, okay, so if nothing happens with this CD, if there's no, you know, and everything is always incremental, right? There's no big single thing that would happen that, you know, would make it my complete success. But no matter what happens with this, I feel extremely confident and very content with that product. You know, with that CD.
Speaking of that CD, where can our listeners get that?
Yeah.
Because we know they want it.
Okay, so it will be, it's being released February 7th is the release date. If folks go to my website, they can have links. It'll be on, you know, Spotify and all the usual places. If people go to my website.
Hold on, what is your website?
Yeah, what's that?
Oh, all right. So it's Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, Dunham, D-U-N-H-A-M.com. And also, the way I'm touring for the CD, the album, is I'm doing like a bigger version of what I did while I was doing workout shows. I'm calling it House Concerts for the Resistance.
Yes.
And, wow.
And there's a whole FAQ about how you set one up. And anyone who wants to set up a house concert, I've got a booklet that I already formulated to explain how to do it. It's very easy. Comedy house concerts are extremely easy. And then you can collect money for whatever progressive cause. So February, I'll be touring in, I believe, Texas and Florida. So if people want to host in Texas and Florida, and then the Northeast, like during the spring, and possibly other places during the summer. But I would love for people to host house concerts for the Resistance.
Yeah. So like if our listeners in what, Texas, Florida, and
the Northeast
want to host the comedian / storyteller / not gym teacher, Kelly Dunham, in their home and raise some money with other performers, like, they can do that.
Right, yeah.
And Kelly, may I point out that this, to me, looks like a very organized way of asking for help.
Yeah, it kind of is, right? Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of note cards involved. But, yeah, as I was putting up on my website, I was like, well, this is kind of, and I was like, you know what? People loved doing, like, I like these concerts that I did. People loved doing them, and they also got something out of it, right? Like, they got to give something cool to their friends.
Yeah, and they also got to participate in something that is for social justice, that's for the greater good, that's all about the things that you, Kelly, champion all the time. And they got to have a little Kelly Dunham magic both in their hearts and and in their belly laughs. So you're just giving so much back. You're asking for help, but you're giving like 10 times more back to the world. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You're the best, Kelly.
You.
We love you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I really, I really appreciate it. This process has been so, like, when I was listening to the podcast last night, I was like, oh, this is super helpful because, yeah, I remember that experience as transformative, right? But also to have your experience, like, summarized and take all the best quotes out and then also add a soundtrack behind it. And then you listen to it 5 months later. I was like, all personal growth should be this way. Like every
just an audio scrapbook.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of amazing. I was like, okay. And also now I have like a souvenir of growth, which is kind of amazing. So I feel really grateful for this experience. Like it has felt really, authentically helpful.
We're so glad you're doing so fabulously well right now, and we're cheering for you with all of your endeavors in the coming months. And again, Kelly, thank you so much for letting us be a part of your journey.
Seriously. I'm jelly, but I'm going to name it, and then I won't be
ashamed.
As ashamed.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask for some help later.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take care. Have a good day now.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Oh, my God. Jolenta, I am so excited about everything on Kelly's horizon.
I want to host a Kelly concert.
I mean, the fact that she is so inventive with her ideas of how to promote herself, how to get her stories out there, how to continue to help her social justice causes at the same time, she's just a hero.
And I not only is literally asking for venues in people's homes, asking for help, but also, did you hear when she mentioned, like, oh, sometimes I'll just post on Facebook, like, ugh, I'm struggling with this now. Like, I think vulnerability and sort of disarming shame about stuff that makes us feel shamey is also kind of asking for help. Just putting it out there in the world, being like, anyone else relate?
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think she's definitely keeping it up in, like, even little ways.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we could all learn to be a little bit more like Kelly.
Oh, and if you want to be the next Kelly, not you, Kristen, you're exempt, I think. But if any of our listeners want to be the next Kelly, we'll sit down with you. We'll talk over your predicament. We'll give you a 2-week prescription of self-love steps. All you got to do is hit us up via email at weloveyoupod@gmail.com if you want to nominate yourself, a friend, a family member, a loved one, an enemy. But you have to be nice about enemies, okay?
Again, that's weloveyoupod@gmail.com. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we're back, we'll hear from some of you out there and your thoughts on the Kelly episode and your own experiences with professional jealousy.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
All right, we are back, and let's take a look at some listener mail, shall we?
Yes, let's start with this one from Brittany. Brittany says, okay, time to chat about professional jealousy. I've definitely felt it before, and it sucks. I've found that really focusing on who or what type of person I want to be and what I've learned in my career helps. For example, just a couple years after college, I had a friend who was in a director role. I was not. But I did have an awesome boss who was teaching me a lot. My college friend did not have that. As far as thinking through who I want to be, I know I'm not willing to put in 12 hours a day at the office. My family and home life are more important to me. So when I think about others getting ahead who are doing that, I realize maybe it's just not for me. And that's just one of many examples.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when other people look like they're really succeeding, sometimes maybe their version of success, when you really think hard about it, isn't necessarily what you want for
yourself.
Right,
you have to sort of cross-reference that with your goals and be like, yeah, I'd love to have a director position, but oh, wait, my priorities are really different in other ways. And like, I'm very okay with that. And I'm a success in these areas that matter to me.
Yeah. And I think the world frequently throws around big job titles or big houses or big cars or certain kinds of credentials to have. Like, there are versions of success that might look appealing until you put your own life in it. And it's like,
and then you're like, oh, that doesn't track really for me.
No, it doesn't. It's just not our, it's not what we want most. So that is a great bit of advice, Brittany.
I love this tip that Brooke emailed us. Brooke says, in the past, when I've experienced professional envy, I actually try to turn that envy into admiration. I wholeheartedly believe that in order to grow personally and professionally, we must surround ourselves with people who challenge us to be better people. This turns my initial envy into admiration, respect, and in many cases, friendship. I always learn something new and attribute much of my professional success to the fact that I have surrounded myself with amazing people, usually amazing women.
Wow. Brooke. I love that. Admiration is such a great feeling, too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like around the corner from jealousy.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like sometimes to be surrounded by people who are great at what they're doing, it makes it seem possible maybe that we can do something that we don't know that we're capable of yet. Yeah.
And I love the idea of it turning into friendship. It's like there could be, you know, someone you admire and are like, oh, they took my career path. I hate them. Like, they're my enemy secretly in my head. Or what if you're like, oh, I totally admire like how you got where you are. Like, can I learn a little more? Let's have coffee. Oh, my God. Now we're best friends. And like, we learn from each other.
Yeah. All of that. Love it.
Love it.
Love it, Brooke. All right. I love this letter from Danielle. Danielle says, when it comes to professional jealousy, what I do is just remind myself that I believe in abundance. I believe that while in the moment, scarcity can be very real, in the grand scheme of things, there's going to be enough fun, enough work, enough creativity, abundance, love, all of that to go around. I also remind myself that when I feel things like jealousy, it may just be my mind reminding me of the things I want in my life.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get jealous when I see people just going for what they want and it's not what I want at all. But I'm like, oh, I might not be really going after my stuff. Yeah. And there might be enough stuff, even if someone's doing something similar, like there's probably enough to go around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not limited. Things like love aren't limited. Things like success
what?
Are not
I limited. I thought you hit a quota and you either peaked early or late. No?
No, there's no limit to it. And that's such a good point, Danielle. And yeah, the idea that sometimes when we're jealous, it may be just because there are things we want that we're not going after is also just a great point. Love it.
I loved this letter we got from Kristen. Not you, Kristen.
No, different Kristen.
Spelled with a C-H.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the opening line, which is, this is kind of pessimistic advice. But when it comes to professional jealousy, I remember that career success is super impermanent. That in like 20 years, whatever someone I'm jealous of is doing now is probably not going to be that relevant. And the real goals in life are finding value with the people around us that matter.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Like, yeah, even be like, not even 20 years, but like in 2 weeks, will I actually be this upset or jealous? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
2 years.
Let's be clear. Like, the truth is, like, there are only a few shares and a few dollies out there. Most of them are like, you know, Dexy's Midnight Runners. You know, most people are one-hit wonders if you're jealous of professional success.
I didn't know that reference, but our producer, Lindsay, is cracking up.
She doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, she does. She knows music.
She does. Come on, Eileen. Anyone?
Oh, I mean, I know the song. I just didn't know who sang it.
But, I mean, the thing is like—
We can't all be bewitched there. You know that?
The thing is, it's true. It's true what Kristen is saying, that a lot of folks are, you know, going to be wildly successful for a little window. A lot of people are going to be wildly successful, not at all. And then sometimes we're successful in one thing and then we're successful in a completely different thing. It's okay. Like, we shift around and we're not always necessarily going to be the, you know, the top dog at the ranch.
And
that's
just because, like, you're looking through one window and it fills you with so much jealous rage, you want to, like, smash it. Be like, oh, in a few years, this window will look so ugly and dated to me, I won't even care. Just to really make it a house reference, a window reference. I'm glad I can make you laugh this much.
All right. Shannon has this to say. My way of dealing with professional jealousy is to update my resume, sometimes after a short pity party. Oh, I love that.
Mm.
I have a version of it that has everything I've ever done, and it reminds me that I've done some very cool things. I also update it every year on my birthday, so I make sure it stays updated and useful. That is such a great tip.
Shannon, you are way too productive with your jelly. But I admire you.
Yes. It's like a modified version of what we told Kelly to do when we're like, write out all your accomplishments.
Oh, duh. Literally it is.
Yeah.
I also love the version of your...
You said literally and it's about writing.
Oh my God, kill me. I love the idea of a version of your resume with everything on it. Not just so you can see it all in one place, but depending on what kind of job you're applying for, it might make it really easy to cop and paste and like cobble together perfect resume for like each thing.
Absolutely.
So smart, Shannon. Thank you.
Absolutely. On that note, we're going to take another quick break, but when we're back, we'll share our We Love You recommendations for the week and give you a preview of next week's episode.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Okay, we are back. And now it's time for our We Love You recommendations of the week.
Week.
And now these are just things that filled my heart with joy and Kristen's heart with joy that we think you might want to check out if you enjoy listening to us. You might like our opinions.
Yes. All right. So before I go into my recommendation, I'm going to kind of explain it in a sort of roundabout way.
Okay.
And full disclosure, I might cry a tiny bit while doing this. So I'm just warning you.
Good cry.
Okay. It's a good cry. Okay. I think it's a good cry.
Okay.
Anywho, ever since we worked with Kelly, I've been thinking a lot about my late friend Ellie, who died 3 years ago. And she was only in her 30s. She was way too young. She was engaged to be married. And she was just so full of life and love. And she just... See, now I'm starting to cry.
I know why this is.
Sorry.
I'm weirdly getting goosebumps, so maybe she's here.
She's amazing. She brought joy everywhere she went. You could not be around her and not be happy. And, you know, she used to be a fixture in the New York lesbian nightlife scene. She promoted and hosted events. She was even on the L Word at one point.
What?
Yes.
The original L Word,
yes,
kids.
The original one. And before each event she hosted, she would always play in, you know, she would go into a room by herself. And she would play One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston to pump herself up. And then she would just go out there and knock them dead. And the reason I'm recommending this is because I've been listening to this song all week, thinking about Kelly and thinking about Ellie. And if you don't know the song already, it's really about just doing your very best for yourself. It's not about competition at all. It's about transcendence because you put in your best effort. That's all it is. And I just think, you know, anybody who is going out there, not just on a stage to tell stories, by the way, but maybe you're going for a job interview.
Out there on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Maybe you're, you know, going on a first date. Ooh, maybe you're having a first day at a new job.
Maybe you're just trying a new recipe.
Yeah. Whatever it is. And if you just want to pump yourself up and remember that it's all about you, it's not about anybody else. It's just about tapping into your abilities and your joy. Please listen to One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. And I think it might make you feel... spectacular. It always makes me feel spectacular, partly because I think about Ellie, but...
I mean, partly, just you can't go wrong with Whitney song.
Yeah, and the message of the song is just really beautiful. So that's One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. All right, Jolenta, what about you? What is your We Love You recommendation for the week?
So I know we've done very few We Love You recommendations, and I've already recommended some horror viewing.
You have.
It's my favorite thing to view, and it's October, so everyone... can suck it. You can suck my candy corn because I love scary movies and they're just abundant this month. And they always have a deeper message.
Yeah, don't have sex.
No, not always that. That was just in the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. But now it's changing. And we love it. I really, really want to recommend It Chapter 2.
It as in the Stephen King.
As in the Stephen King clown. Pennywise.
Pennywise, yes.
I finally got around to seeing the new installment. And it's just, it is so beautifully made. Nice and campy, but nice and like deeply scary. And what I found really, really great about the movie was, and I don't think this is giving much away, a lot of it is about sort of embracing who you are regardless of how much shame you feel. And I think that's a really important message. And it weirdly reminded me of Kelly a little bit, where it's like, oh, learning to ask for help and like acknowledging things you think of as a weakness that like maybe isn't. And, you know, really scary clowns, right?
Yes, scary clowns for the win. So that's Jolenta's We Love You recommendation of the week. It, part two, though.
Chapter two.
Chapter two.
Yeah.
Not chapter one.
You can do chapter one if you haven't. It's pretty integral to the storyline. But if you just haven't seen it, chapter two yet, get on it.
Chapter two. Got it. So One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston and It Chapter two.
They go together like cheese and fine wine.
All right. I think it's time, Jolenta.
Time for our brief teaser of next week's episode, Kristen.
Oh, you know it is. Hit it, Lindsay.
I am 29 years old, and I've never lived by myself. And by myself, I mean no pets, nothing. And I'm about to move into my own apartment to live by myself.
That's Emily.
What is it about living alone that makes Emily sound so noticeably scared?
Is she afraid of locking herself out of her apartment on her first night?
Is she afraid she's going to be all alone and there's going to be a ghost in her new place?
Oh, that happens. Mm. Listen next week to find out. And that's it for this episode of We Love You and So Can You. Our producer is Lindsay Cradwell. Our editor is John Delore. Daisy Rosario is our executive producer. And Chris Bannon is our chief content officer. Also, Casey Holford composed our theme song and mixed this episode.
Please stay in touch with us. Let us know if you identify with our guests. What do you do when you're in their situations? And let us know if you want to be a guest on We Love You.
Our email address is welovepod@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at Jolenta G, at Kristen Meinzer, or at welovepod. And of course, you can leave us a message at 601-LOVE-171. That's 601-568-3171.
And don't forget to rate us and review us in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. When you rate us and review us, it helps other people find us. It helps us stay in those beautiful charts. We just want to spread the We Love You word.
Yes. Until next time, I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
Thank you so much for listening.
Goodbye.
And remember,
we love you.
And so can you.
If November and December and January are like holiday movies for Kristen.
It's October to February.
No, October is my month.
No.
I get October. Tell her.
Okay.
Lindsay.
Stitcher.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.